This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Fourth and two, UNLV jumps offside. Will Hill, this game, it's got it all, man. If you're sitting back, the nog is hitting you a little hard. Like, man, there's a lot of turnovers, a lot of offsides of this game. And I've been drinking a little bit too much. No, you're not. The game is as clunky as you would anticipate. Ohio and UNLV, the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Ohio inside the 15-yard line now, after a fourth and two gives a first down to Ohio on the offsides. Live total sits at 48.5, Will. I did take 48.5 over, and they just took a picture of the quarterback, Parker Navarro. His face is bleeding, like, in multiple spots. It looked off his nose. His lips are all bloody. I mean, this is what bowl season's about, baby. Blood, sweat, and tears, Will Hill.
Yeah, this game kind of has it all, and I don't really mean that as a compliment, but this this game has been fascinating, and for a game with a total of 65, we're sitting here, we're 5 minutes in to the second quarter almost, and we don't have a score yet, so really just a bizarre game. You feel like at some point the offense is about to break out as Ohio nudges their way right around the five-yard line. We're going to have like a third down and maybe one from the five. I would think this is four-down territory. As long as you don't lose a bunch of yards on third down, it's basically you got two chances to get a yard and a half, and try to bust through and get a touchdown. So very strange game so far. I don't mind your play of a live over, because it's not like these teams have been stopped. These teams have just stopped themselves. And like I said, we're 5 minutes into the second quarter. So what, 20 minutes in the game? For a scoreless game, we've seen one punt, I believe. It's all been turnovers and just very strange, fluky plays. So as we say that, we have an injury and a little bit of a stoppage. It'll be third and one, scoreless game, 10:25 left in the second quarter when we resume here in a couple minutes.
Parker Navarro, the quarterback for Ohio, I'm pretty sure has a broken nose. Blood gushing, looked like his nose a little crooked. You know, I'll say this, there are some games where you're going to see these super seniors playing their final game, and they're going to be playing something other than sports, as that commercial always told us. So I think Parker Navarro might be one of those guys. So he's kind of putting it all on the line tonight. I love it right now. We've got an injury timeout, as Will pointed out. Live total down to 47.5. So if you want to jump in now, Will, and join me on that side. But just a reminder, this hour is brought to you by Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better, that's BETR, or visit better.app. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. So we got the Frisco Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl going on down there in Frisco, actually not in Frisco, Texas. The stadium that they normally play this game in, I believe, is getting renovated. So they're playing it at the Dallas Cowboys practice facility. And Ohio and UNLV right now, live total 47.5. UNLV still a slight favorite. They have been very sloppy so far in this game. The common play that we put together, first half under, feel decent about our position right now in the first half under, Will, at 32.5. I think you got 33.5.
Yeah, and it's not going to matter. And I did come back on an over 24.5, which I kind of wish I didn't. Obviously, at this point, it's going to be hard to go for that middle. It just felt like the right thing to do with how effortlessly these teams are moving the ball. And when you got a 9-point middle in a first half where there can only be so many numbers it lands on, that's not a bad middle. But anyone who tailed along with our original play, the first half under is likely on their way to cashing. But with the way this game is going, who the hell knows?
We'll probably get like a scoop and score when they come back from break. Navarro will trip over his center's foot, fling the ball in the air. We've had a interception at the 2-yard line by UNLV. We had a fumble inside the red zone by UNLV. We had a punt deflected, not fully blocked. I mean, we've had a lot of shenanigans going on. I will say, and you know, we've got 10 minutes left in this second quarter. I'd be curious, and I already played the full game over 48.5. coming back on the other side. Will, the way this game has played and how clunky it's been, I would potentially look at a second half over, depending on where we're at right now. It does feel like at some point this thing has to get cleaned up, right?
I would think so. I would think so, but you're not running out of game yet, but like we've burned 20 minutes off the clock, and there's only so much time left to go over the number here. So, you know, you're looking at 65 in a 60 minute game. You're thinking a little over a point a minute, the pace is still around there based on the projected total. But at some point, they're going to have to score, and they are addressing Navarro's nose here, putting some sort of tissue on it, and that is being addressed as we speak, or I guess it was during the break, and we return to action. Third down and one.
His nose is definitely broken, by the way.
Yeah, his nose is in rough shape. So let's see here. Ohio is taking a lot of time here at the line of scrimmage before they run a play. And let's see, a little option. Navarro keeps it, and we finally have our first points, Tim. 6-0 Ohio. There's no flags. There's no fumbles. Nobody tripped and fumbled. We're in the end zone. It looks like it's not going to be called back or anything. So we finally have some points here in the Frisco Bowl.
Parker Navarro 100% has a broken nose. They just, as Will pointed out, they shoved some tissue up, the right nostril, and then the trainer took out scissors and cut off and snipped off the rest of the tissue paper. So right now we're just watching Parker Navarro scores a touchdown. He's got one nostril stuffed with tissue right now as the extra point clanks off the upright. Oh, my God. This game is a disaster. Wow. They're playing indoors. What are we doing? We've had fumbles.
Can't make it up.
We can't make extra points. Our pets' heads are falling off. He just clanks it right off the upright. Like, I need to know, is this a difficult setting to play in? What the hell is going on inside the Star facility down there in Arlington, Texas? Because this has been one of the clunkiest games I've seen in a long, long time.
I remember maybe 7-8 years ago, you'll probably remember this too. There was I think it was a Cheez-It Bowl, like TCU Cal, where it was just
so bad.
It was almost scoreless at the end of the game. Like, what was the scenario? But I remember it being really weird, really low scoring.
I think it was 10-7 was the final score. It went to overtime
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wild game. And this is not quite at that level, but it reminds me that sometimes you get these in bowl season.
I remember that game vividly. That was the same year that I referenced the Hawaii Bowl in 2019. That was also 2019, if I remember correctly. And I want to say it was a 10 p.m. Eastern kick time. So I was watching this game by myself in my in-laws' house and just riveted how terrible it was. Looking it up, Chase Garbers and Chase Forrest for Cal combined to throw 5 interceptions, and the quarterback for TCU threw 4. The quarterbacks in that game combined to throw 9 picks and no touchdowns in that game. 10-7 was the final score.
Yeah, that was a classic.
A class. I remember I did a radio show the following morning, and I remember because it was the Cheez-It Bowl, and all I could think about was man, I really could go for some Cheez-Its right now. So I was like, you know what? It definitely hit the spot that they're at the sponsor of that bowl game. I thought nailed it with the amount of discussion regarding Cheez-It. There's a lot of these bowl sponsors that are kind of weird that you don't know what the hell they do. I believe the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, it's not the wasabi that you get at a sushi place. I think it's a financial company or something like that.
Of course.
But Cheez-It, I think, makes a lot of sense. Pop-Tart makes a lot of sense. The Pop-Tart Bowl's really playing into it, right? Did you see the helmets for Georgia Tech and BYU? They're both going to have sprinkles over the on the middle part of their helmet.
Oh, I didn't see that. It reminds me of that the Uber Eats commercial where they insist that football is trying to sell you food, and they're all lamb and rice, and they have all the different food names. That reminds me of that. No more Cheez-It Bowl, though, right? That's a thing of the past?
No, it's the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which is odd. But yes, okay. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which doesn't really seem to go together. I don't want citrus Cheez-Its, but yes, I believe it is the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which is Michigan and Texas. Speaking of Texas, up to a 7-point favorite in that one. And Arch Manning obviously will play in that. He will be back for another year. Do you think it's as simple as Mendoza goes one? Have you looked at any of those markets? How are you looking at the first overall pick market right now?
Well, if the Giants get the pick, I don't think they're going to want a quarterback. Could Bain or somebody else go or go, yeah. go one, or do they
trade out,
know, kind of auction that pick off and try to get extra capital? I would say this. I know Mendoza, look, great year, Heisman, all that. I don't know if any of these guys, just watching college football week to week, I'm not a scout. I don't pretend to be. I don't think, you know, you are either. Just as a fan, I don't know that any of these guys change your franchise as an NFL guy, but who knows? You know, we've seen we've been surprised before with the NFL prospects. Do you feel great about any of these guys in terms of NFL guys?
I think I could warm up on Dante Moore. And I don't think Mendoza's going to be, I don't know. I don't think Mendoza's going to be a bum by any stretch, but is he worthy of the number one overall pick? I do think that's maybe a bit of a reach, and we'll see how it plays out. We do have Giants Raiders this weekend for the opportunity to play to get the number one pick, as there is a nice catch by UNLV to get into Ohio territory. Hey, folks, if you think you know sports, then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. Pick more or less on your favorite player stats. When your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 for just signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Go to better.app. That's BETR. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. Breaking out week 17 of the NFL slate with David Behrman next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime with Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Quick couple updates here. 87-79 Spurs with the lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Final minute in the third quarter in San Antonio. So the Thunder trying to avoid another loss here as Chet Holmgren misses a corner three. And UNLV just went for it on fourth, Will, came up short, and good for our first half under. Not great for my full game over at the buy low point, or what I thought was a buy low point in Ohio. Now a 3.5-point in-game favorite. They closed around 6.5 or 7. We heard from Chuck Esposito, 88% of bets at the station's casino on UNLV, and right now Ohio certainly playing the better football against the UNLV Rebels. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in David Behrman. He joins us every Tuesday to break down the NFL card, and it is courtesy of our progressive guest line. David, let's go to Christmas Day. It is not the most tantalizing slate as we thought it would be, but still opportunities to bet. Washington, a 7-point underdog. Looks like Josh Johnson will be the guy here for the Commanders against Dallas. This game at home. Total around 50.5, 51. What are you looking at here with Washington hosting the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas?
Yeah, this slate is not good, Tim. As you said, all three games have a home dog of a touchdown or more. It's going to be an ugly type of slate. And I'm going to take the Washington Commanders plus the 7. It's not something that you would enjoy doing. It's probably a hold your nose and pray type situation, but I don't think there's much left in the Dallas Cowboys. Losing 3 straight, allowing 34 points in all 3 games. Not really into laying a touchdown on the road with them. The line, I know, is probably because of the quarterback situation. No Jalen Daniels, you know, no Marcus Mariota. And Josh Johnson, he's been on 423 teams. He's serviceable. He kept them in the game against the Eagles. And after a brief 4-game stint where the Cowboy defense looked a little decent, keeping them in the playoff race, They've reverted to back to being the Cowboys' defense of old that prevented the Cowboys from being good this season. They've allowed over 400 yards in two of their last three games, and as mentioned, 34 or more points in all of them. They're back to last in pass defense, 30th in total defense, and 31st in pass defense. And listen, Tim, it's not like the Commanders...
Hey-o. You all right there?
Accidents in the room. It's not like the Commanders are any good, but they did show some fight against the Eagles a week after beating the Giants to end an eight-game losing streak. If it's Josh Johnson, that's fine. If it's Jeff Driscoll, that's fine, too. That's a lot of points to take it home against a team that I think's packed it up.
David, how about a possible playoff preview here? The Seahawks laying 7.5 points to the Panthers. The Panthers, one of the surprise teams in the league. Is this too many points? What's your read on this game?
I do think it's too many points, and this is not me all in on the Panthers, although I think the Panthers do win that division or the better team in that division. I think this is a classic letdown spot for Seattle coming off that ridiculous win on Thursday night. They're in prime position, and listen, they may go ahead and win. I wouldn't doubt that at all. I just think 7.5 points is a lot of points when you're not dealing with a bad team. You're dealing with a really good Carolina team that has the playoffs in their sights. Seattle's last two wins, both first playoff race teams, were by a combined 3 points. So Seattle's not boat racing teams. They're winning as well they should be. That's why they're the number one seed. But they're not blowing out these teams, good teams. Now, if this was a bad team, a Saints, Tennessee, et cetera, I could see laying the 7.5. And listen, there's been a lot that have been said, you, me, Tim, over the years, and West Coast going East Coast, 1 o'clock game, which is 10 o'clock in body time for Seattle. It's not as big as it was back then. And listen, Seattle's done it 4 times this year, and they've won all 4 games. But they've only covered in 2 of the 4. And this is just a situational spot where I'm not calling for the upset, but I do think Carolina at home getting more than a touchdown against the Seattle team coming off their biggest win in a decade. I'm going to take the points at home with Carolina.
Carolina this year, 8-4 ATS as an underdog. All of their wins have come as an underdog. It is pretty impressive when you look at the Panthers this year. David Bearman joining us here, Betting with Bearman, at David Bearman's, where you can follow him on Twitter as well. We call you the Undertaker, so we got to get an under. And when in doubt, let's look at the ugliest game on the board, the Giants and Raiders battle for the worst record in the NFL. We've got a total, David, of 41.5 in this one.
And this is, by the way, I almost did this on purpose. I'm looking at the board late last night. I'm like, I'm going to go on with Tim. He knows I'm going to take an under. And I didn't purposely take the ugliest one on the board, but I didn't think this would be in the 40s. I just didn't. Both these teams stink. They're packed up for the holidays in the winter. They're going golfing in 2 weeks. Both offenses are also a train wreck. And you know, Tim, you know, Will, when I'm on this show and I see two bad offenses, I take the under. I fully expected this game to be 36-37. A Giants offense that averages less than 21 points a game, 23rd in the NFL. Raiders dead last. Dead last in the NFL, 14.5 points per game. Jackson Dart has not looked the same since Brian Daboll was given his pink slip, and the Raiders seem to have absolutely no idea what they're doing on offense. Last week, a couple of days ago, was the first time since before Halloween that the Raiders actually broke 20 points, and it took a 51-yard house call by Aston Genty in the fourth quarter. They're just a mess. And oh, by the way, the Giants had 141 yards more than you guys did last week in their game and under 252 weeks earlier. If this is 20-10, that's more scoring than I thought would happen. So I'm going to go under the 41.5 and say, listen, you don't got to watch the game. Just go bet the under 41.5. It's a battle for the number one overall draft pick anyway. Nobody wants to win it.
David, who do you think comes out of the AFC? I've been asking people this. I feel like you can ask 7 different people and get 7 different answers. Wide open, who do you like?
You know, I have my brother-in-law was in town for the holidays from L.A., excited about the Rams, and he asked me that question tonight at dinner. Who are the Rams going to play in the Super Bowl? And, you know, that was in pretty good confidence in him in the Rams. I thought about it. You could go in 1,000 different directions. As you said, it's wide open, and I threw one at him that surprised him because nobody wants it. But I think you're going to get an all-L.A. Super Bowl, and you're going to get the Chargers and the Rams facing off in San Francisco, and no one's going to be happy about it, but I think the Chargers, if they can solve their offensive line, are the most complete team in the AFC, but don't sleep on those Jacksonville Jaguars. They're sneakily really, really good. I'm just not ready to put a rookie head coach and Trevor Lawrence in the Super Bowl just yet. So it's a soft play, Will. I'm not at any point confident in this one. It wouldn't surprise me if this is Buffalo's year because no Patrick Mahomes. It wouldn't surprise me if it's Denver's year because they're winning the toughest division in football. The Jags have played well. New England Patriots are right there, but are you willing to put a new head coach and a second year quarterback in the Super Bowl. But you know what? Anybody can win the AFC. I think the most experienced would be Harbaugh and Herbert. And you look at that and you're like, all right, well, I can see it.
You know, Sunday Night Football, you mentioned the situational spot for Seahawks traveling to the Panthers. You've got San Francisco at home. The situation sets up pretty nice for them right now. You win out, you're going to be the number one seed. Chicago, they get the magical comeback. They get the onside kick. They win in overtime. They slay the Green Bay Dragon. They're massive favorites now to win the NFC North. What do you make of this spot on Sunday Night Football where the 49ers are right now 3-point favorites against the Chicago Bears?
To be honest, I think it all depends on if George Kittle plays. That's the key to the offense, with all due respect to Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy. You know Christian McCaffrey is going to get the ball. You know he's going to get the swing passes. You know he's going to be there. It's George Kittle right now that's making that offense go. McCaffrey's not even breaking 60, 70 yards rushing on most nights. Kittle's performance last night through not even three quarters with 120 yards and a bunch of catches and a touchdown is what won them that game. If he can play, I think the Niners continue to do what they've been doing in the Bears letdown spot, as you just mentioned. If Kittle doesn't play, all of a sudden you're stacking 8-9 in the box to stop McCaffrey, because quite frankly, the 49ers don't have any really good wide receivers that you would depend on. So I think it really depends if Kittle plays or not. If he's out, I would take Chicago, because Chicago is just seems to be that team that just wins. They may not win the Super Bowl, but they're just pulling rabbits out of their butt every single week. They had no business beating Green Bay, none whatsoever, but they've done that all year. So I see them doing it again if Kittle doesn't play. If Kittle plays, I'm taking the Niners.
At David Bearman, it's where you can find him on Twitter, Betting with Bearman. Check him out on social media. Check out the podcast as well. David, appreciate it, man. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
Happy holidays, and at some point you got to explain to me how humans always goes to Hawaii and you're stuck there in Vegas.
Hey, I was just in Boise, you know. It's they call it Boise the Hawaii of Idaho. So that's what I've been told most regularly. Appreciate
sure,
it, David.
Sure. Well, good luck and happy holidays, David. My friend.
There he is. We got same the 2-minute timeout, Will Hill. I think we're feeling good about our first half under. Maybe me and you shouldn't have got a little aggressive, though. We should have just sat back, say, hey, we got winners. You tried to take first half over, what, 24 and a half, middle it. I tried to take full game over. Your full game total right now down to 48 and a half, or excuse me, 40 and a half right now. The highest total of bowl season is now down to 39 and a half in the first half, Will.
Yeah, tried to get cute. You know what? Had a reason to go for the middle. Teams were moving the ball well, so hurts to get off of a winner. That's never good when you turn a 1-0 into a 1-1. But on to Cincinnati, as Bill Belichick would say.
Same thought process as well. We'll get some more thoughts on this, as well as the Hawaii Bowl. Give you a little preview on that game tomorrow night. The holidays may slow everybody else down, but not here at VSiN, folks. While you're celebrating, traveling, or taking that rare day off, we'll be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. So from bowl season, NFL action, plus the NBA holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
49 seconds to go, Will Hill, in the first half of the Frisco Bowl, UNLV in Ohio. The highest total of the entire bowl season was this game. It is 6-0 with 40 seconds to go, and we get a shot to the end zone, interception.
Wow.
I mean, I was just talking to Scott Seidenberg, who's going to be taking over top of the hour here on cashing out. We have to go second half over, right? Anthony Calandria, I don't know what is going on. He is a nightmare tonight. This game is something else, man. Sick. I mean, look, when we talked ourselves into playing first half under, I was like, all right, yeah, I could see it be a little clunky. I mean, the first half total was 33 and a half. It is 6-0, and that is going to be more than likely the score heading into the locker rooms. Do we look at second half over, or is this just a complete disaster? I think they clean this thing up. I do. I think we got to go second half over.
What's up? What do you feel? We've been focused on the total. What do you think about the game? Because
I don't know.
This was kind of one-way traffic on UNLV. I mean, I know they've had a couple turnovers, and some of them have been fluky, but It doesn't feel like UNLV is 7 points better than Ohio. And who – I'm trying to think who started with the ball. UNLV started with it, right? So Ohio State's going to have a 6-0 lead. And Ohio State's going to start with the ball in the third quarter. Should we just be betting Ohio?
I don't know. Right now, live line 2.5 in favor of Ohio. All right, well, we got a winner, though, Will. So Team Ginger came through with first half under. Didn't think it would be that easy, but we will take it. Ohio goes into the locker rooms up 6-0, and now the question is – do we roll that over on the second half over?
I'm looking at the third quarter line. Got a third quarter winner with the under earlier. It's 13.5. If you're looking at the three-way market, if you want to interest in a tie for the third quarter is plus 425. Do either of those numbers interest you?
I like tie for the second third quarter. I think that's an interesting one. 7-7, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. You don't like the under 13.5? You got a feeling.
I'm being stubborn right now. I just feel like we're going to get points in the second half. It's a fast track. Does this thing get cleaned up? We've seen a lot of these games this bowl season, whether it be the game I was at yesterday or earlier today with Louisville and Toledo. It feels like these second halves start to get a little bit more up-tempo, a little cleaner. I don't know. I don't want to be dumb and, you know, just go ahead and waste the winnings that we got on the first half over. But
right.
I feel like I would look that second half over. I'm waiting for the second half lines to start showing up here. But we had 4 turnovers in that first half. And do we have a turnover on downs, too? Can't remember. But, yeah, Ohio will get the ball. I think I'm confusing Southern Miss game. That was the turnover on downs. UNLV.
Second half total, I mean, 29.5, because it's 6-0 at the half. DraftKings has the live lineup of 35.5. So, I mean, you just do the math. 29.5 for a second half. Is that enough for you to go over?
Sportsbook here in town, 28.5.
Yeah.
I feel like we get points. Do you know? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that was an ugly first half. Or is Ohio going to want to try to bleed it a little bit with this game?
Yeah, I'm not confident of anything with this game.
Oh, I'm trying to see what the second half number is here on at Circa, what the number they're putting up. I'm gonna take a little second half over. What could go wrong?
Are you going to watch this game? Because our show ends in a half hour. Will you go home? Will you watch this till the end? Or like how invested are you in this game?
I feel like I'm kind of invested now. I'm in now.
Yeah.
I'm in. So you have no feel on this game from a side standpoint, which I would agree.
I'll give you one I like. Third quarter, Ohio plus +0.5, -142. They get the ball and they're getting +0.5. To me, that's enough to take the +0.5 here with Ohio.
Okay. All right, I like it. Halftime, 6-0, Ohio and UNLV. A second half that had, or a first half that had 386 yards. A 6-0 game. A team that got shut out in the first half had 202 yards, Will.
Yeah, very, very strange one. Very strange one. You get weird stuff in this bowl season. I mean, Louisville, as you know, took money, went from 5-6 point favorites up to like 12 point favorites, and they don't cover any of those numbers. So it's a strange times with bowl season. I always say this: if you like the underdog with these games when they're 6-7 point underdogs, it's worth a little bit of a sprinkle. Put a percentage of your bet on the money line, because who knows, these are very high variance games. So I don't think that's a bad way to approach it either.
All right, so we're at the half of the – it was our VSiN primetime game of the night. It's been something. Let's put it at that. It's been something. Maybe not the best, most well-played game you'll ever see, but it's been something. UNLV and Ohio right now, 6-0, the halftime score. As Will pointed out, Ohio will get the ball to start the second half. Live total, 35.5. I took a little bit on the over there, and we'll see if UNLV can – pull a comeback here. Anthony Calandria all over the place. So he threw an interception, fumbled the ball in the red zone. Parker Navarro looks like he definitely has a broken nose. He's thrown an interception in this game. It's had a little bit of everything. All right, we also have a game tomorrow night. Will, the Hawaii Bowl, Hawaii taking on Cal. The under is taking some money. We'll get into that here in just a moment. But I had Timmy Chang, head coach of Hawaii, on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast just last week. And he gave his thoughts on being back in the Hawaii Bowl, the first time he's been coaching in a bowl at his alma mater.
It really is. It really is. I personally, having played in it, having coached in it, but those 3 years that I played in it with my teammates, it was such a great experience. You know, we had a great turnout. It's like it's not another home game, but it's like another home game for us. You know, I've grown up here. I lived here, so I'm biased. But there is no other place like Hawaii in the month of December, leading up to December 31st on New Year's Eve, and letting all the fireworks go. I mean, it's one of the greatest places to be, is here on Oahu or in the islands. As you can see in the background, I mean, it gets as bad as just a cloudy, rainy wind, a little wind. And that's as bad as it gets all year. But, we enjoy the game. We embrace the game. I the goal is always to make the college football playoffs.
Sure.
And if that were to happen, you know, and God blesses us to be there, I mean, we would take it in a heartbeat. But you know, playing at home, it's impactful and it means something to us. And, you know, my guys are really excited. You know, we get to spend, you know, five nights and 6 days in the Moana Surf Rider. It's, part of Sheraton, right there on Waikiki Beach. You know, we get to enjoy our families, you know, our guys that have families get to enjoy theirs. And so we're really looking forward to enjoying the week, but you know, it's, you know, the matchup and who we're playing and, you know, the storylines behind it. Are pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's no doubt. One of the more unique bowl games, I think, of this bowl season, obviously removing the college football playoff. It's by itself tomorrow night. You get Hawaii back in the Hawaii Bowl, first time since 2019. They won that game back in 2019 over BYU 38-34. Who was the head coach back in 2019? Nick Rolovich, the current interim head coach of Cal. He will be sticking on that staff, being their quarterbacks coach for Tosh Lupoi, who comes in from Oregon. So all the storylines, two Hawaiian quarterbacks, as you have JKS, Jaron Kiave, Sangapulateli for Cal, and then you have Micah Alejado. Both have announced they will be back at their respective institutions. I am surprised that I was just texting with a buddy out there on the island why the under has been getting hit so hard. It's not expected to be that windy. So, look, we've seen unders continue to cash. We're watching a game right now that is 6-0 at the halftime, and it was a 65 total. So who knows how this one plays out. But I did play Hawaii early in bowl season. We've got CLV on that one, Will. So what could possibly go wrong? But I do like the Rainbow Warriors at home in this spot against Cal.
Drink of choice while watching this game tomorrow.
Ooh, I'll probably be sipping on some red wine. Might have to be making some toys. So we'll see how tomorrow night plays out.
Okay.
What about you?
It's a great question. I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure that I would. My pro tip would be put the toys together before the alcohol. That would be my suggestion.
Probably a smart decision. I guess this game will start at 5, so it might not be toy-making time at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, we're going to air some grievances on the other side, but just a reminder, this hour brought to you by Better. If you think you know sports, then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Head to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it's time to prove it.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, and the San Antonio Spurs, Will Hill, are running away against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Under 3 minutes to go, the Spurs are going to defeat the Thunder for a second straight game. 117-101 is the score right now. This game closed OKC around 7-point favorites. And this game was nip and tuck for most of the game until this fourth quarter. San Antonio has pulled away. Christmas Day, the Thunder will host the Spurs. So 2 days from now, on Christmas Day, you will get Spurs and Thunder. Right now, looks like the line is 10.5. Do the Thunder on Christmas Day put a hurtin' on the San Antonio Spurs after back-to-back wins over OKC?
I would think from a situational standpoint, it's a home run spot for the Thunder to, you know, lick their wounds and get some revenge. That being said, maybe this is just a bad matchup for the Thunder. And with the way the Spurs beat them on a neutral court with Wemby on a limited minutes scenario there with the restriction, and then a drubbing tonight, maybe it's just a bad matchup. Maybe 10.5 is too many. So I probably won't be betting it just because I can make a case for both sides. I can make a case. It's a spot for OKC to get some revenge and win by 20 and get their stuff back together. But you can also make the case that, you know what, this is just a bad matchup and the Spurs play them tough. And what are you doing with a team laying 10 points here who can't beat this other team? So I'll probably be a stay away. I don't know. Do you have an inkling for it? I know you're not a typical night-to-night bettor with the NBA. Neither am I, really, but just more rooting for this Thunder to break the record, which now, I hate to say it, seems about as dead as it gets, which I'm feeling pretty good about 10 days ago. Three losses in like a 10-day stretch, you can't afford to have it, say the least.
Feels like a little bit on life support right now. For the Thunder, this has certainly been surprising a little bit. They'll wake up here. It does feel like from a situational spot, it is a great situation for the Thunder. Back at home, two straight losses to the Spurs. Kind of feels like a situation in the NBA Finals or NBA playoffs. You know, you lose your first two games, you come home, it's a smash spot. What I would be curious, Will, because it's not your typical situation, right? It's not the playoffs where you're paid that premium on the first half. Would you look OKC first half at 6.5, 6 somewhere, you know, when that comes out? Because you know how you had to pay those premiums where everyone's like, you got to play first half. The team down 0-2, first half, they're going to come out. And the books have adjusted. Is it fair to look at it that way, or am I putting too much thought into this because it, at the end of the day, still is just a regular season game?
No, you're probably right. There probably will be a little bit of sense of urgency and emphasis to get off to a fast start. So first quarter, first half, those probably are not bad ways to play that game on Thursday. What time is that game on Thursday? Because
I believe it's the second
that's
game.
That's the one thing I don't like. So what's that, like 2:30 Eastern?
2:30 Eastern, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I don't like about these NFL games being on Netflix, and this is a definition of first world problems, it makes it harder to channel surf. If the game's on Fox or CBS, you can just flip around easily. When you have to get in and out of Netflix or Amazon Prime, it makes it harder to seamlessly kind of channel surf.
Well, that's a perfect segue into a little airing of the grievances, betting style, as we wrap things up. Our producer, Corey, reminded us, courtesy of Seinfeld, it is Festivus today. I've got a lot of problems with you people. So from a betting standpoint, Will, it's a fresh wound. I will let you have the floor first, and I will add my thoughts about what unfolded on Saturday night. I don't believe you had anything in Packers-Bears. I don't know. Maybe you did. But you and I both, and I went on your podcast, Should Have Bet More, and we discussed Oregon and James Madison just on Saturday. The wound is fresh for this loss.
Yep, I laid it with Oregon, had a decent-sized bet on it, and I actually, with the NFL game going on and the score what it was, I flipped the channel. I didn't really have my attention on it. I thought I was in good shape. Even as James Madison is starting to creep closer, you figure in good shape. But at 48-13, about to score, you never in a million years think Oregon is going to stop playing to the point where James Madison can actually get inside the number. And to top things off, a 99-yard drive, and to add insult to injury on top of that, a fourth down conversion to get in the end zone. Just an absolute brutal beat. And if they played again this week, I would lay it again. If they played again this week, that line is probably 24, 27. I mean, it was the right side, but you know what? The right side, tell that to your book. You don't get paid out for the right side. You get paid for who covers the number, and James Madison covered the number in Oregon. It was brutal.
You know, you and I think we bet pretty similarly. I don't bet favorites really all that often. I like to look at the dog. I could not get myself to the dog here. And I heard great opinions. Our guest earlier in the show, Joshua Nunn from Action Network, broke it all down, why he was on James Madison. I just couldn't get there. I wasn't buying in on a team that had a strength of schedule in the 100s. Oh, they're not. Their stats are good. They hadn't faced anyone like Oregon, and we saw that from the jump. It was 48-13, as you pointed out, third and goal from the 9-yard line, and Dante Moore throws one of the most inexplicable, boneheaded interceptions. If he doesn't turn the ball over there, it's 51-13. We're good. And then to get a kneel down at the 1-yard line and need to go 99 yards. But at that point, Will, I was kind of at the point where I was like, you know what? This is totally shaping up to be a backdoor cover situation. You saw it with Oregon. They took their foot off the gas pedal, clearly, at least defensively. There was no stopping them offensively outside of a terrible interception. So congratulations. You know, it's funny. I'm on a text thread. I imagine you are as well, with buddies of yours and buddies of mine. And we bet kind of more contrary. And I said, I had Oregon. They're like, oh, yeah, we had James Madison. I'm like, you know, it'd be nice. It would be nice to have one of those things play out. Remind me of All-Star Weekend, because you and I were doing the All-Star Game show together. And I remember signing off and thinking you were in a really good spot. So remind me again of the beat that you took on the All-Star Game this year.
Yeah, I had Pete Alonso at 40-1. I also had Rooker at like Brent Rooker, I think like 70-1. And Alonso hits a 3-run homer in the game. The National League's in control. Alonso got up to like a -700, -800 favorite. And it was basically over. He's going to win the award. Diaz comes in, blows the save. It goes to extra innings. And Rooker hit a 3-run homer in the game too and hit a bunch of homers in that home run derby tiebreaker. Unfortunately for me, Schwarber goes 3-for-3 in his swings in homers with Alonso on deck, where all you have to do is go 2 out of 3. Alonso probably hits the winning homer, the clinching homer. Then he's the MVP. Was not meant to be. Schwarber gets it done. And that is still, man, just an absolutely sickening beat on Alonso to win the home run derby, 35-1, 40-1. Just a brutal one. Absolutely brutal one.
All right, one more for me. November 1st, you know, we talked about Cal and Hawaii. I bet Cal a good number of times this year. You tend to like them. Justin Wilcox, before he got fired, even after he got fired, Nick Rolovich in that underdog role against SMU. They have had these moments where they thrive as dogs. And this was in the midst of me trying to go against Virginia because they had this horseshoe up their rear end most of the year in a lot of these games. And Cal was catching 4.5 at home against UVA. They get a fourth down stop with 45 seconds to go. So I got a bit of a break here by Virginia going for it on fourth down. They could have kicked a field goal, which would have put Cal covering or Virginia covering the game. However, they went for it, which was the right move, right? If you get the first down and you kneel down, the game is over. But instead, they turn the ball over on downs, and I'm thinking to myself, Will, all right, what's the worst possible situation that could happen right here? A pick six. JKS drops back to pass, throws one across the middle. It's intercepted. And you're seeing the Virginia sideline telling him to go down, because if he goes down, the game's over. And even after the game, when Chandler Morris was interviewed, the Virginia quarterback, he said, yeah, I wanted him to go down. But instead, he tiptoes the sideline, goes into the end zone. Virginia wins 31-21. Those back-breaking pick sixes. Do you remember Texas Tech, Oregon, a couple years ago?
Yes. Oh, second week of the year or so.
Just brutal.
Same thing.
Texas Tech opened like 7, closed 5. They're down, I think, 6. They throw a back. Oh, they might have been down a 2 or something like that. Those defensive players, they see the glory and they don't want to go down. All right.
Who was the quarterback for Oregon in that game? That was before Gabriel, right? I'm trying to think of who their quarterback was 2 years ago. Oh, that was Bo Nix, right?
I think it was Bo Nix. And
yeah, I think it had to be.
Was Morton the quarterback for Texas Tech still then?
I think so. I think so. It was like the it wasn't week one, but that was the week after. I think it was.
It was Texas Tech
it was the
and
night
lost
before week one of the
Texas
NFL.
Tech lost to Wyoming up in Laramie, yep. Came back home, and I was like, everything worked out perfectly. You lose up in Laramie, you're a little bit undervalued, taking on Oregon at home, right side the whole way, interception, pick six, game over. All right, Will. Good cash on the first half under. It's still 6-0, UNLV and Ohio. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, cashing out with Scott Seidenberg coming up next. Thanks to everyone who joined the program. Joshua Nunn, Chuck Esposito, Bruce Marshall, and David Behrman. I'm Tim Murray. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is VSiN Primetime.